of Kingsley Sutton up there. John, you'd think I was doing the horses here, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Out of that place on the hill, St. Patrick's on the hill, it's the light on the hill, Kingsley calls it, and sure it is that, reaching out. Catholic and Protestant children together, making music and reaching out in a spirit of understanding each of the other. In studio with me now, I've got my old friend, and I refer to him as a guru of matters which we talk about in the studio, John Toner from the Slieve Donard Hotel across the mountain. You're welcome, John. It's good
Thank
to see you.
Good to be here.
And we have three lads from the Abbey. Well, you look like a lad, Mark Grogan. So I'm going to. You're part of the team. Mark's the teacher. Mark Grogan. Where are you from? You're from Lurgan, are you?
Lurgan, yeah.
I thought Lurgan people all went to Coleman's. Maybe you did.
Well, no, I didn't. No. Definitely not. No.
So Mark is the teacher, and it's David Digney and Jarlath McAteer, and the lads are just back from Zambia. Yeah. The Abbey has a special outreach to Zambia. John, were there outreaches to Zambia and things like that when you were at the Abbey?
There would certainly, yeah.
It's mostly black babies. Yeah, that's what we called
really
them.
Was. That's what they would have been called then. But there was, there was always arrangements with Africa, because the Christian Brothers had always had a close affiliation with Africa in general.
And Mark, this has been going on at the Abbey for how long now?
This all started in about just in the year 2000 at the millennium. The brothers decided to introduce this outreach programme, and all 109 Christian Brothers schools became part of it, and we were lucky enough to choose Livingston in Zambia. But we would hopefully carry on the tradition now, John, that you would have been, Brother Byrne would have been there. That's coming right. Round. We started that tradition again this year, and we went round every Friday and collected for the African babies, I suppose, then.
How much did you take out in terms of the 5 years? How much would you have brought out?
In total,
roughly,
I would say it's 60,000, 70,000.
Really?
If not fantastic. More, yeah.
Isn't that fantastic,
That's
John?
Fabulous, you know, it's fabulous, indeed.
And people talk about young people nowadays not being all that good. And I've two marvellous, smiling young people sitting there as books between the bookends of wisdom, John on my right and Mark Rogan on my left. And David, was this your first trip to Zambia?
Oh, yeah.
Right, take me, you get out of the aeroplane, the door's open, right? Do they fumigate the aeroplane first of all? Yep. Yeah. So you tell me, from the touchdown she stops, you take me down the steps and tell me about your own reactions.
Well, I'm sure we'd never experienced a culture like that before, so when you were getting...
Well, what did you see? What made it different for you?
Well, you just got off and you saw, just pretty much like, it was kind of like a desert, but there were a few trees like scattered about just as far as you could see, out in every direction, but got off and in the airport, it was a bit of an unsettling experience, because... you were the outsider there, and people were looking at you for being white, whereas if you were walking through the quays of the water crane, people would stare at a family of black people walking through.
How did you handle that difficulty? Did you greet people?
Yeah, you greeted people. You get used to it in the end. I think we all experienced it. It was a bit weird at the start, but you got used to it eventually.
Jarlath, obviously you had the same experience.
Yeah.
How did it strike you, being the minority?
It's hard to get used to it, but it's amazing though. You're coming down. We were driving from Lusaka to Livingston, and people would be staring at you, but you give them a wave, and they all jump out nearly and give a smile and wave back. You're driving in the road.
That takes me to the next question: the characteristic that you found among the people there. What was it like? How would you sum them up?
They're very welcoming, very friendly. You could be walking along and stop and say hello to somebody, and they'd stop and they'd ask how you are. They'd always welcome you with a smile and a wave, and how are you? And you ask them how are they. They're fine. Mm-hmm. Ask you where you're from, and they're very welcoming, and they just feel very comfortable.
David, this is happening through the Abbey. What does this do for your pride at being an Abbey man?
Well, I was one of two seventh-years selected to go to Zambia, so I obviously felt honoured to be selected. You hear about it. When we come back from school, we've been doing presentations to the different year groups. And 2 years ago, I would have been sitting there listening to the boys talk about their experiences in Zambia. And just sitting there, you're thinking, oh, that sounds amazing. I'd definitely love to do it.
What difference did you note? And you're an intelligent lad, and you as well, Jarlath. I'm leaving you out of it at this time, Mark. You are, you're the teacher. But in that place where you went and you're meeting people, you're talking to people, there is difference there. How important in your book, Jarlath, is it to mingle with difference and to create a kind of one world situation?
Well, I think it's very important. Like, part of the project was for us to see what's life's like in a third world country, and to raise awareness to come home. And that's part of our presentations. When we come home, we're passing on our information and what we've seen and experienced to other people, and hopefully they will go out in the future and experience that as well, because it really is, it's life changing just to go out and see how different life is and the contrast between the two countries and the two continents as such. Like.
Okay, hold the thoughts. We'll be back in a moment. Have to go from those sublime thoughts into the world of the necessary, and that's called the, what's it called, lads? The
Adverts.
Attention all tradesmen and self-employed. Are you struggling to generate the income needed to stay in business? Then help's at hand. Call our dedicated business debt advisors, McCambridge Duffy, on 0800 043 0200 for free confidential business debt advice. We may even be able to help you legally write off some of your business debts. We understand business, and our aim is to keep you in business. Contact us before it's too late at mccambridgeduffy.com or free phone 0800 043-3328.
Cairngrove Kilcoo. Amazing offer on a limited number of properties. Perfect for first-time buyers. Prices reduced to £135,000. No deposit, no worries. Get a 25% deposit paid and own 100% of your home from the moment you get the keys. Why rent when you can buy for less? Cairngrove Kilcoo is convenient to Newry, Ralph Ryland, Castle Wellan and Newcastle. For further details or to view the finished show house, call Property Directions today on 0845-222-1100. But hurry, this is a limited period offer. All mortgages are subject to affordability terms and conditions.
Meditation, reflexology, yoga, purifying facial, a flotation tank, hot stone massage. £1,000 towards your deposit when you buy a new Golf or Polo on finance. That's what'll really make you feel good.
Offer available across the Golf and Polo range when financing a car on Volkswagen Finance Solutions, excluding GTI and R32. Available in Northern Ireland only. Visit P&R Motors, Merchants Quay, Newry.
Oi, oi, my mighty lush people. Friday the 15th of May, as part of the Northwest 200 weekend, Kelly's Port Rush proudly presents Radio 1 legend Dave Pearce. Dave will be blasting out his trance anthems of 2009 at the awesome all-new Lush venue. Sponsored by Corona, pay at the door, admission £7. Friday the 15th of May, Dave Pearce at Lush. Be there.
Ascot Hats and Beautiful Bride, Lockbrook Industrial Estate, Camlock Road, Newry. Find the wedding dress of your dreams, or why not visit to view the fabulous collection of made-to-measure designer outfits for mother of the bride or groom. Stunning formal dresses available for the finishing touches, and exquisite range of hats, fascinators and costume jewellery are available. Ascot Hats and Beautiful Bride, Lockbrook Industrial Estate. Telephone 3083-9622.
5FM weather.
With thanks to P&R Motors, 6 and 7 Merchants Quay, Newry, your local Volkswagen dealer.
Yes, yes, yes. Stop. It's the weather. Sunny spells and banks of cloud during the afternoon. Still fairly good and happy with that. Bright skies at the moment. There will, however, be a few scattered showers in the afternoon, and that's unavoidable. Light winds and a high temperature of 14 degrees. Tonight it'll be clear and there'll be a low of 5 degrees in temperature. That's your weather. Out and enjoy.
Motability customers, P&R Motors currently have the new Volkswagen Golf 5-door TDI available at an initial rental of only £499 for a limited period only. For more, contact P&R Motors on 3026 7722.
5FM weather.
Let's get rid of that. There we are, guys. We're back with you. Come back. There's these tails on the jazz, on the stabs and stings, and they go on forever. But listen, in studio with me, I've got Mark Grogan, I've got David Digney, I've got Jarlath McAteer, I've got John Toner, and we're talking Africa and heading into more local things at home with John in a moment or two. But Mark, you're the teacher. You take the lads out there. you're coming from an Ireland that is all sorts of things here. We're a mixed bag. But you're coming from a church that is not a strong church in Ireland. Fewer priests, and there's statistics there, I shan't reach for them now, that show that the Irish church is in a bad way in regard to priests. They don't have too many of them. But you suddenly find yourself in a place where religion is vibrant, spirituality is everywhere. What's your observation on what you find there in that regard?
Certainly in Sambi, the religious aspect is extremely important to them. Like Mass, for example, the boys will tell you here, it could be 3 to 4 hours. We were there for Palm Sunday Mass, and certainly what they would have experienced would be nothing like they would experience here.
Yeah. Would that have been a, lads, would that have been a boring experience for you, that 3 hour Mass? It sounds
anything but.
Anything because of the nature of the celebration. Yeah.
Just singing. They were singing flat out, didn't they? All those choirs from a number of churches there, and they were just, the singing was amazing. It's unlike anything we have here. And we went on a big parade of the area where we were for, I think it was about an hour. So just everyone from that community was out parading, and it was just one of those experiences that you can't really describe. It's just everything.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question now, which is, has some relevance, and John, you can be across this as well. But I'm looking at the SMA are out there. Of course, you've got you've got PJ. He's out there, Father PJ Gormley. He's there at the moment. James O'Kane, Father Brian O'Kane. They're there in Zambia doing great things in Zambia, and. You know, they're kind of a last of the dying breed, because the African church is now a black church, and that's as it is. What you saw out there, lads, would it encourage you to become a priest? Each of you answer. David?
I don't know about that. Like, I'm not sure if I'm cut out for the priesthood.
I take that as a no. Okay, Jarlath?
No, well, it wouldn't entice him to become a priest, but it
right,
does.
Right, that's
does
your answer. I'm going to ask you now another question. If the Catholic Church got rid of the celibacy thing and you were allowed to have a woman or women in your lives, would you think about being a priest? You are allowed to answer it.
Oh, man, Ollie. I still don't know if it would be for me. Like.
Jarlath?
I don't know if we could really talk about that. Like, that's a bit off the point, in all fairness.
There is no such thing as off the point to intelligent men. You would encourage a breadth of intellectual vision, would you not, Mark?
Of course, yes, but...
I suppose the same question could be asked of you.
Well...
If you were allowed, you're a married man, I presume.
No,
you're a single man. Now, the priests in Africa are adventurers. If you were allowed to have a woman in your life, would you consider the priesthood?
The priests and so on out there are similar to the priests here. They don't have wives out there either.
Yeah,
they have work to do.
Yeah,
I think a wife would maybe take them off that work to do.
That's another day.
Certainly, well, it is.
That's another day's fishing to fry, to catch and fry.
They have a lot of work to do out there, and they need the time to do it.
Right, okay. I want to tell people, you've given me this lovely badge. It's the Abbey colours. Very proud to have it from you. And this is telling us that contributions will help students from the Abbey to go to Zambia. In Zambia, you will see it firsthand, all that is happening out there. Thank you for the badge. I wish you very good luck in the future. John, you've heard from the young people. You've heard their visionaries there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not such a bad old world after all, is it?
No, it's great. The enthusiasm the boys had, they were talking about it, I mean, it's amazing, you know, and I'm sure now that they've tasted it, they'll keep it up and always support it, I'm sure, throughout the rest of their lives now, having had the experience, you know.
Is that what you'll do, boys? You're hooked in Africa, are you?
Definitely.
No, I'd love to head up back here.
The boys are talking about, hopefully we're heading out next summer again.
Yeah.
It's just, maybe not the whole group, but we're all looking to go back out and just experience it again, because it's incredible. Like,
of course, when you go beyond school, you can go anyway. You don't need the Abbey to take you out. On your own steam, you can go, having been introduced to it by the Abbey. Mark, you're now in the fundraising for next year, yes?
Well, we'll start kicking it off again, yeah.
How does that work? How are you going to get the money?
Well, again, especially around Christmas time, we have a lot of backpacks organised. This year we introduced something new to us. One of the teachers, David Evans, got in touch with Belfast City Airport. We actually collected there. And it was extremely generous people around Christmas.
I had the same. I had the same yesterday in the good food shop in Uri. From 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock yesterday, we collected £1,250 in the good food shop, and then in the Butter Crane on Thursday, the Habitat for Humanity people, they collected £1,000. So people are very generous, you know.
We had 5 days now before Christmas hour. Yeah, last Christmas there, and between the 5 days, we had well over £10,000.
That's amazing.
That is as good as it gets, guys. I tell you. Listen, good luck to you. Thank you for coming in. I wish you well, and keep loving Africa. It's no bad thing. Thank God bless you. Take care. Play a bit of music for you.
Yeah. I remember a meadow one morning in May, with the sky full of dreams that sailed in that day. I was dancing through green waves of grass like the sea. And for a moment in time, I could feel I was free. There are waves of forgiveness and waves of regret, and the first waves of true love I'll never forget. In the meadow that morning, as I wandered alone, there were green
favourite there, The Secret Garden, and I think we'll move from that into our conversation with John Toner. John, of course, is the manager of the Sleeve Donard Hotel, that beautiful hotel nestling in the cusp that lies between the Mourns and the ocean. And there it is. John, that's not a bad description for your place.
No, John, it just fits it very well, just with the foot of the mountains with a sweep down to the sea. You know, it's a stunning location, there's no doubt about it. And no matter where I go, or, I mean, I think when you walk up to the front door in the morning to go to work and look out, you know, and see the bay and see the mountains, it's hard to beat. Even yeah. Killarney doesn't match.
It's hardly work at all, John.
It's hardly work. Oh, it's a bit of work too, you know.
Listen, you're talking about Jerome there, or Jerome Mullen, our honorary consul for Poland.
Jerome's some great guy, really is. You know, he, some years ago when the Special Olympics were coming to Ireland, he got me onto the fundraising County Down committee, you know, and it was tremendous amount of money that was raised by that committee in a very short time, you know. And he also had, I was up with him at Stormont there the other day at the launch of the Culture Week for the Polish people. So, and then of course, Jerome being Jerome, and of course a conversation, he said, by the way, John, you're joining the Northern Ireland Polish Business Association, you know. So that's something else he's got me into, you know. But he's a great guy, Jerome, and he does sterling work for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know?
Listen, you were leafing through the papers there. What have you found?
I suppose the one thing that grabs me and has done for the last number of months is the banking situation in Ireland. You know, and my father was an ex employee of the bank. He worked here in Uri in the old Munster and Leinster in Hill Street. You know, and I mean, in those days, banking was somebody that was a bank official or manager sat with the priest. The policeman and somebody of respect, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see the carry-on that banks are doing now with customers, I think it's criminal, and I really confounded why they're not prosecutions.
But isn't it interesting, I've commented on this before, poor people who have run into difficulties in the Republic, they're being taken to court, court orders are being issued, and the wee woman who owes £1,000 is being jailed. And the fat cat bankers are getting away with it and even been given bonuses.
Well, it's actually horrendous. I was listening the other day where a young man in business, and he's successful business, and he, you know, he's finding things tight, but I mean he has been paying his home mortgage, but the bank had given him a ring and told him, like, you know, they want to look at his mortgage, and he says, why, I have a 5-year fixed term loan with you. And he said, well, it doesn't matter, we want to talk to you about it. So the bank manager arrived at his house at 5 o'clock the following Friday and told him that they needed to change it to a variable mortgage as and from tomorrow, Monday, you know. And he said, but I don't owe you anything. So they said it didn't matter. And what are you go? He felt that they had no right to do this, and they said, well,
they're right to screw him.
We'll just discontinue the existing mortgage, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if my father was alive, I don't know what he would say. You know, that's not the etiquette that he would know of banking. You know, that has happened today, and I just think it's horrendous. You know, and I don't know, but there'll have to be some sort of recompense for these people that have made these mistakes. Because if I made the mistakes, you can bet your bottom dollar, Billy Hastings would have me out tomorrow morning.
I wouldn't
get a day to sit and, you know.
Well, in large measure, they created the recession, and any sign of it in your business at the moment?
Well, I must have been. We're very fortunate in that the hotel has been very successful over the last. We invested some 5 years ago, as you know, 15 million now, and that brought us on to the situation where with the Walker Cup, which is a major event for Ireland and for the hotel, there 2 years ago in 2007, and we had a tremendous successful year in 2008. Now, I have just completed my first 6 months of my financial year, and I'm 4.5 behind where I was this time last year, and that is stunningly great achievement, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When it comes to controlling costs and expenses, I'm actually where I am at the bottom line where I was this time last year.
That's nice.
I assure you, there's not an hotel in the island of Ireland that is performing on that.
And, well done.
You know, really, and I'm so pleased with it for all the staff and the people that have been giving their best effort and doing a job to satisfy our customers, you know.
John, you've also been very kind to my African project, and Warren Point Golf Club, they're having a Warren Point Golf Club for Africa on Sunday the 28th of June, and you've been very generous to us.
Yes, certainly. I mean, I just feel that the work that's done to Africa, I mean, and I went on a holiday there about last month. I went out to Cape Town for 10 days and I didn't go with any, it just was a last minute thing. I just felt I'd go somewhere and I visited the townships, you know, and I mean, it was a great experience. And I mean, I don't know how you, it was a sort of a bit of an understanding of what the boys talked about earlier, yeah, you know. Yeah. And I spent a morning in a township and we got to, you know, met people and understood how their lives is, you know, and it's just another world, you know. Yeah. And I think it was a good experience, and I think in future, I mean, I maybe might look at. I know you said to me sometime you'll have to come out, but maybe I will do in the future. Well,
I'll take you into the bush with me in northwest Nigeria, and that'll give you a very special understanding of it. But listen, thank you for the prize that you're giving us for the golf. It's an overnight with dinner at the Sleeve Donard Hotel. And if you're a golfer out there, please get in contact with Marion at Warren Point Golf Club and get involved in this fantastically generous outreach for our Newry Schools project, the SMA Fathers Schools in northwest Nigeria. You have something else there from the papers, John?
I suppose not so much. I suppose today is a very important day in my life too, because after work and home, and my next passion is GAA. You know, yes. Today is a celebration of 125 years of the GAA throughout the country, and there's no official fixtures, and it's all a day for a celebration of this. So the boys there that just left, the one from Ballyhold, he's away back to the celebrations in Ballyhold, and the other guy's away to Shamrocks, and later on I'll be back in Newcastle with Bransford to celebrate the 125 years. You know,
quantify it for me. I've heard it described in many ways, but what has the qualitative value of the GAA been throughout its life?
Qualitative value, well, I suppose the only best example is, I mean, I'm a father of five children, and I mean, every one of them went through the process of growing up through the GAA, where it'd be the two girls and three boys, and you know, the boys are still engaged with the GAA, and the girls are still on the sidelines too, but I think it just gives them a whole ethos of growing up, of companionship and team development and leadership. I think all the skills that everybody needed to develop a life they got from the GAA.
Hold that thought, we go to the ads.
Okay,